Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a glorious Wednesday. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Six games, five of which were completely, utterly captivating, astonishingly close. Two very good teams, one a little less flawed, bigger and stronger than the other. And Joy Taylor is joining me, the Herd, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Quite a series we watched.
Amazing. It was a really, really fun series. Like, I don't know how you watch that and not enjoy it. I mean, my team wasn't in it. I loved every second of it.
Yeah, I was the same way. You know, they call him the Greek Freak, and he is unique. There are those handful of players. Not all great superstars are like this. There's been a handful. First time I saw a player like Giannis was Wilt. He wore a headband. He was just more athletic than everybody in the 70s. Then it was Dr. J. I mean, as good as Kobe was, I'd seen it before. It was called MJ. But Giannis is absolutely unique, long and agile. He'll run guards down, beat them down the floor. The Greek Freak. But, you know, there's something else about him. He just plays harder than everybody else. He plays with this optimistic joy. There's no drama with him. He's like an 8-year-old playing basketball for the first time. You want to tell him, hey, slow down. There's four quarters here. Even the greatest players coast at times, take possessions off. Not Giannis. And a lot of the great current players have something about their game which appears to be an obstacle. KD and AD can't stay healthy. Kawhi is nonverbal, sometimes just disappears. Kyrie's got an erratic personality. Harden doesn't give you much on the defensive end. And LeBron, frankly, has been great, but he's old. Giannis has one hole. It's that free throw thing. And last night, he was Larry Bird. He's 26 and only getting better. Here's something else I like about Giannis. And I like new stuff, but I like old school too. He only follows 7 people on Twitter. His mother, his 3 brothers, his fiance, and this is funny, Elon Musk, plus Kobe. Giannis is an old soul at 26. He's not brand obsessed. He's not Twitter obsessed. He leaves politics to everybody else. He's not part of the giant American basketball machine. He feels like an outsider. And for all his utterly amazing physical gifts, there are 2 other things, and I'm not sure anybody other than his parents get credit for them. He's humble, and he's grateful. He's truly different. It's about family. It's about loyalty. It's about trustworthiness. It's about Milwaukee. When's the last time we said that in the NBA? It's all about Milwaukee. I like Giannis. I never really thought he was a face of the league. He just didn't want to be. It didn't seem to interest him. But in sort of a backdoor way, a unique way, not the American basketball machine way, he is now the face of the league. He offers things. I hear this. Well, you know, it'd be better if he played in New York or L.A. I've got to tell you, I think it would be fun to play with Giannis. He doesn't need to take the final shot. You don't, if you play with Giannis, have to be the rim protector. That's hard work. He'll do that. You don't have to guard the best guy. No, he'll do that. He's not going to get hurt in the middle of the season, and you have to carry the team for 6 weeks while he's out. He seemingly never gets hurt. He's coachable. He's likable. He values stuff that my entire life has worked in every business I've been in. Work hard. There's a little American dream, not to be corny, but there's a little American dream to Giannis. If you come to America and you've got talent and you work really, really hard, you'll fail initially. You don't have the connections, perhaps, of somebody born here. And then you'll fail again. And you may fail again. But if you're optimistic and you persevere and you're coachable and you're trustable and you care about the things that truly matter, America's a great place. And this morning, and I've never said this before, in the NBA, there's no place like Milwaukee. Here's Giannis.
Just believe in what you're doing. Keep working. You know, don't let nobody tell you what you can be and what you cannot do. You know, people told me I can't make free throws. I made my free throws tonight. And I'm a freaking champion. I made them and I'm supposed to make it. You know, but I'm joking. Actually, I'm not. But, yeah, just believe, man. I hope I give people around the world, from Africa, from Europe, give them hope. You know, that it can be done. It can be done.
I like that message. Now, the question this morning, is it Giannis's league? Is he the best player? Well, yes, this morning, he's driving the car. Everybody, including LeBron, is in the back seat. Is he the best player? Well, I've been watching this league for 40 years. He is the most physically dominating. The greatest player in the NBA, and it's something you usually hold for about 7 to 10 years, the truly great players in this league, they have a style or a play, and when you watch it, you think, oh, nobody else could do that. The first player I really saw it with was Dr. J. Dr. J had enormous hands. He had a very free-flowing game. It was very fluid. And Dr. J, we'll show you an old piece of tape, would come down the floor and he would do things that I'd never seen even great players do. He would swoop under the basket. He was the first player that drew me to the NBA. I'd never seen baseball players or football players. I'd never seen soccer players. I'd never really seen an athlete do stuff like that. I remember as a kid trying to palm the ball for years and I couldn't. Dr. J was the kind of player that you would watch him play. And then you would go outside, I did, to my basket, and I would try to do Dr. J stuff. And the ball would come out of my hands and roll into the yard. And then after that, there was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan had a handful of moves. Remember when he switched hands? Not even Dr. J did that. Michael Jordan had a series of plays, not many. We know he's the greatest ever, right? But a series of plays, you can just say the switch hands play. And it's Michael Jordan. There's nobody else like that. There's other players who have done things. Magic Johnson, Showtime Lakers, when he would hold the ball in one hand on the fast break and pass. Shaq, the alley-oop. I always thought that was so fitting for Shaquille O'Neal. Not only the alley-oop, because a lot of bigs can do that, but you not only got the dunk, but you got his personality all in 3 seconds. That is the play of Shaq's career. It sums up him and his dominating game. I'd never seen anybody do that. By the way, I was sitting 12 feet behind the basket. Steph Curry taking 32 shots. LeBron James running down the floor. Remember, LeBron is a power forward. For almost all of my life, power forwards rebounded, and that was about it. They did not chase down guards 94 feet and block the ball. Not every star has this. Dr. J had it. Shaq had it. Magic had it. Michael had it. LeBron has it. And when I think of Giannis, there are two plays in this series. He was clearly the best player, but two iconic plays that I think right now nobody else could do. The first is this block. To go from defending the ball handler to the block and this alley-oop running past guards on the floor, This is a 7-footer. This was, in our eyes initially, a center. These are the kind of physically game-changing, unique, iconic plays that the all-time physical greats have. And I do believe Giannis is in that category. Nobody can quite physically do what he can do today. Does that qualify you as the best player? It qualifies you as the most physically unique and dominating player. And I think it needs to be said this morning. For the last 15 years, it always felt like LeBron had another gear he could shift to. This morning, I don't think he can shift to those two gears.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So it would be strange and unexpected if a meteor hit your house. That would be strange. It would not be strange if you got sunburnt because you fell asleep August 15th in a deck chair with no SP 30 on. You would get, that would not be strange. That's what happens. I'm hearing a lot of this morning. Milwaukee got some strange breaks. Everybody was hurt. No, that stuff, that's what happens to Kyrie and Kawhi. I heard this, Brooklyn. I mean, if it wasn't the fact that blankety blank got hurt for Brooklyn. Yeah, but they always do. KD's always hurt and Kyrie's always hurt. And Harden came in out of shape and they played 8 total games. What happened to Brooklyn was not strange. That's who they were all year. Never healthy. Well, I mean, Ben Simmons and Embiid disintegrated. That's who Ben Simmons is. He's not the meteor. He's the sunburn. He disintegrates. He doesn't communicate. He doesn't work on his shot. I mean, one of the reasons I don't have the Clippers winning next year, I don't trust Kawhi's health or personality. You do get credit for being big, strong, and healthy, and you do get docked for getting hurt a lot, AD and KD. Listen, Milwaukee's not a Picasso. I joke with Joy the other morning off the air. They can literally outplay you for a half and be up by 8. I mean, Drew Holiday has nights like last night he can't shoot. Chris Middleton's hot and cold. Giannis and his free throws. They have awful quarters last night in the second quarter where they look like a bottom 5 team in the league. They're not a Picasso, but they're a champion. And by the way, they didn't get every break. Giannis got hurt. They lost a starting guard right before the playoffs, Dante DiVincenzo. He averaged double digits. They frankly got a weird playoff run. So they had to open with the Heat, who beat them last year. You think, oh, they'd be in their head. Then they played the favored Nets. And then they played a team in Atlanta that totally playing with house money. And then they played a fast finesse team in Phoenix, which ran through the West and swept Denver. So, like, it was a weird playoff team of small teams and quick teams and teams with nothing to lose and teams with stars and a team that beat you last year and they lost Dante DiVincenzo and Giannis got hurt. And the bottom line is Milwaukee earned this thing. They stayed healthy. There was no drama. They remain coachable. You do get value. I picked Milwaukee to win 2 months ago. Joy is my witness. And I said two reasons why. Number one, there'll be no pressure because we've dismissed them. And number two is none of their guys get hurt. And in a condensed season, we were watching everybody get hurt. And I thought, well, Embiid will probably get hurt and AD will probably get hurt and Kawhi will probably get hurt. And then even Donovan Mitchell got hurt and Jamal Murray got hurt. And pretty soon you looked up and Milwaukee wasn't hurt because of the hard work and effort of Giannis. When it did get hurt, his body miraculously rebounded in 48 hours. So I don't want to hear about Brooklyn. If I had to live all year with Brooklyn talk. Oh, if Brooklyn was healthy. They're not. That's not who they are. The whole season they played 8 games together. Kyrie wasn't healthy in college. He wasn't healthy in Cleveland. He wasn't always healthy in Boston. He wasn't healthy in Brooklyn. That's who he is. Harden, a little bit of a vagabond, came in out of shape. And KD, as much as I like him, was coming off a major injury. You had to bake in. He probably wouldn't play every game this year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think they're totally overhyped. We have a super team in college football. All you college football fans in Alabama love that, but you don't like NBA super teams. So NBA super teams are overrated. As I said, they come with two fatal flaws. Stars are very expensive, so KD, Kyrie, and Harden forget bench. They're not taking pay cuts. Second thing is you have egos. And two things that get blown up in America, rock bands and NBA teams, because you can only have so many lead singers, right? So what constitutes a super team? So let's say a super team is when you have two superstars on the team. So that would be LeBron and AD right now. That's a super team. When KD, not before, but when KD joined Steph Curry, because Klay's not a superstar, Draymond's not a superstar. So when KD and Steph were together. And then D-Wade and LeBron. Bosh wasn't a superstar. Darn good. But so those three. So 2 years with the Lakers, 4 years with the Heat, and 3 years with the Warriors. 9 years. Five titles. Should have been four, but Ray Allen hit a great shot. 9 years, five titles. It ain't that super. Okay, the Avengers have one loss. 9 years, five titles. Could have easily been four. And by the way, look at Brooklyn. That's the current super team. You think that has a long shelf life? I mean, seriously. You think that has a long shelf life? I'll tell you what has a long shelf life. The Spurs. That thing lasted, first title to last, lasted 15 years. Milwaukee reminds me of the Spurs. 26-year-old superstar young guy that doesn't get hurt. Great system. A lot of depth. Well, nobody wants to play in Milwaukee. Well, Drew Holiday did. Giannis does. I don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to play in Portland. Dame does. I always hear that. Nobody wants to play in blank city. Giannis seems happy as heck, and if he's happy, they're fine. So you start looking around. The current super team is Brooklyn. They have no rim protector. They have no bench. And if I ran the team, I'd get rid of Kyrie Irving. I would go KD, James Harden, and a better bench and a rim protector. I would do it tomorrow. So, and also, Milwaukee now is a champion. What does that mean? They're going to play with the confidence of a champion. I mean, Joy and I talked about this yesterday. We both liked, I think, Milwaukee yesterday. We both said, though, God, they're going to get tight. 3 minutes left. They lead by.
The beginning of that game was a disaster on both ends.
It was
awful.
The teams were tight. Well, they won't be tight. They're champions now. So they'll play with an unbelievable confidence. And I do think, I'm going to play a bite from Giannis. Super teams make great headlines and great movie posters. It's always a shorter movie than you think, and it's never as great as you think. It does have a Hollywood component where you put all these great actors together. It's never quite as good as you think. It's not as authentic. People didn't work as hard. Giannis talked about that after last night's title.
Obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way to do it. And we did it.
Yes, they did. He's so likable.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
It's the summer of Giannis and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers rushed to social media last night after the Bucks vanquished the Phoenix Suns. Aaron said, incredible job by Wes and Mark, Peter, John Horst, our GM, made some incredible moves. Our stars played like stars, can't stop 34 champs. Yes, he mentioned the general manager. That did appear to be a fairly obvious shot at the Packers GM. Milwaukee, and I'll say this without any reluctance, has now the least manipulative superstar in America and the most manipulative superstar in America. And it is interesting, and it's not lost on you, I'm sure, if you thought about it. Green Bay today, the Packers, are exactly where the Bucks have been the last 2 years. Now, I want you to think about this. The Packers are exactly right now where the Bucks have been the previous couple of years. On the doorstep of a title, amazing regular seasons, led by a guy who's MVP of the league. I mean, last 2 years, Bucks have the best record in the East, but they can't knock the door down. The difference, of course, is Giannis worked harder and burrowed through it. Aaron Rodgers on that same doorstep is demanding an exit. The epitome of leadership, and it's always been wildly undervalued by fans. It's called leadership. Doesn't show up in the box score. Giannis has elite leadership traits. He trusts teammates. He's not passive aggressive. He's not manipulative. He's incredibly coachable. He's patient. He takes criticism and doesn't get defensive. Aaron is gifted, but does not have great leadership traits. Passive aggressive, aloof, vindictive, at times petty. Whereas Giannis is optimistic. Sometimes Aaron feels cynical. It is interesting how they're juxtaposed in the same market, is it not? The Packers today are the Bucks the last 2 years, just inches away. But the Packers never give Aaron Rodgers. Davante Adams is a top three receiver and Aaron Jones a top five back. David Bakhtiari is the highest rated pass blocking left tackle in the NFL. And their tight end had 11 touchdowns. The defense isn't dominating, but Kenny Clark is great. Za'Darius and Preston Smith are excellent. Their young safeties are fantastic. And Alexander, one of their corners, to me, is a top two and three corner in the league. Let's stop with the Packers. Don't give Aaron enough. Nobody is saying they couldn't use a pass rusher. Hell, 90% of the league would die for a Bosa brother. Nick or Joey, take your pick. But there are a lot more stars, I mean, elite players playing next to Aaron than there are Giannis. I mean, Giannis's number two is Chris Middleton. He would not have started for the Warriors dynasty a few years back. Would not have started. Alexander, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Kenny Clark would start for everybody. Would start for everybody in the National Football League.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So last night, Giannis carried him to the finish line. Joey, we're going to hand out report cards.
Okay. Mike Budenholzer.
I've been very critical of him throughout the playoffs. I'm going to give him an A-. First of all, he overcame deficits in all but one series. So there's some. He didn't overreact. He was a believer in this is what we do, and we do it well. I also thought in game two, when he just put Jrue Holiday and Chris Paul for the next three games, it literally changed the momentum of the series, and it wore down Chris Paul. So I would have given him a C- early, but he never panicked. The Jrue Holiday to Chris Paul move was everything, and he tried at least once, it may have been two times in the finals, he put a lineup on the floor that had not been used all regular season or the playoffs.
Ooh, a lot of pressure on him going into these playoffs. Chris Paul.
I think in the end, C to a C+. Here's the reality. He led all players in turnovers. He had 21 in the finals. And they were outscored. The Suns were by 11 when he was on the court in the finals. The only Suns starter with a negative plus minus. So I thought he played very well last night and very well early in the series. But in the crucial games, games 2, 3, and 4, and 5, there were times he was a liability on the floor and was kind of disengaged in a couple of first halves. So I'd say C.
Chris Middleton.
I've been very critical. Chris, I almost flunked you out, but you were the teacher's pet in this finals. You get an A-. In the end, he led all players in the finals with three-pointers and minutes played. And here's where Chris Middleton doesn't get a lot of respect. He plays his butt off defensively. Mm-hmm. Chris Middleton plays real defense. And that's so you have the best defensive player in the league, and Middleton and Drew Holiday and P.J. Tucker are plus defenders. But nobody talks about Middleton as a defender because Drew and Giannis are so out. They could be the best defenders at the positions in the league. Middleton, defense takes him from a B-plus to an A-minus player.
DeAndre Ayton.
It's his first fight. It's a big spot for him. He couldn't stop Giannis, so a B-minus. He couldn't stop Giannis. Didn't have a lot of help. And he shot his lowest field goal percentage in any round of the playoffs. He did average 14 and 12. This was a lot to ask of him. You know, when Saric got hurt, they needed Kaminsky, Frank Kaminsky. So he was in a rough spot. He was also on the losing end of a couple of those iconic plays, which didn't help him.
Most people can't stop Giannis, so.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday.
Good, solid B+. Now, he could not shoot last night. Now, Drew's shooting is at times regrettable, but he had the highest plus minus of any player in the finals, including Giannis. When he was on the floor, Phoenix's offense struggled. He had the most assists, not Chris Paul. He had the most assists by any player in the finals. Now, why isn't he an A? He had a couple of stinkers from the floor. He did not shoot the ball effectively in multiple games.
Monty Williams.
Good B, good solid B. He lost four straight games. And there were some questions about making some moves throughout the series, staying with Chris Paul maybe too long. I thought his hands were tied a little bit when one of his bigs got hurt. They were up 2-0 and lost the next four, so that's a B.
Devin Booker.
I'll surprisingly give him a B+. When you get to the finals or conference finals, the last 3 minutes of games matter. He played way too much hero ball to close out games. The 31 field goal attempts and just two attempts, two assists. Think about this. 31 shots, two assists in the fourth quarter of the finals. Now, he was great. Didn't play great last night. But he had back-to-back 40-point games in games 4 and 5. But where he can really refine as a player, and Kawhi did this. It used to be you gave the ball to Kawhi, you never got it back. I mean, he averaged like one assist for the first 5 years in the league. Devin has got to be able, it took Michael and Kobe a while, he's got to be a little better vision, and some of this will be if he trusts teammates more. But I thought at the end of games, little too much hero ball.
Finally, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought about this a lot. I'm going to give him an A.
No, A plus?
Well, he came in hurt. So what really happened is he dominated middle to the end of the series. He was unstoppable. But he came off a knee injury. He had the alley-oop, the iconic block, a 50-point closeout game. Listen, I am a hard grader. I do not give A pluses because I want Giannis. Because, you know, I don't want him to get soft.
Oh, yeah. Clearly, if he doesn't get an A plus, he's going to...
You know, I don't want his work ethic to go down the tank.
He's going to just be silk sheets guy moving forward.
Yeah. So I want him to work hard in the off season. So as a teacher, I feel a responsibility. I almost give you A+. I will say this. The free throw shooting is an issue. Now, last night he was Larry Bird.
Right.
Yeah, that was stupid. I mean, I literally sat there. I'm thinking, you got to give me a break. And not only was he making them, they were going swish.
I loved it. I love when players do that. I love when we all say they have a hole in their game or something that they can't do, and they just go out in the biggest moment and crush.
But he came in with an injury, missed a lot of free throws, but it's a good solid A for him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Let's go to B.J. Armstrong. Multiple titles, three of them with the Chicago Bulls, and all-star as well. B.J. Armstrong is now NBA agent. He is joining us live. So, I mean, from your perspective, 26, five-time All-Star, Finals MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, two-time MVP. Is it his league this morning, BJ?
Without question, Colin. This is his league. He's established himself. It's not as a superstar. He's the best player in the league on both sides of the ball. And what's scary about him, every time you watch him, every time I watch him, I go, this guy is scoring 50 points a game without a consistent jump shot, let alone a three-point shot. These 50-point games at some point, Colin, are going to be 60 and 70-point games once he has a consistent mid-range shot.
Yeah.
And he's just an amazing, amazing talent, and he's figured it out. He's figured out what all great players have figured out. He gives 100%, 100% of the time. He's a remarkable player, a remarkable talent. He's playing in an era where we talk about shooting, analytics, so forth and so on. And he's the best player without any of those things, just because he understands who he is and what he brings to the game of basketball.
You know, it's interesting. The one fly in the ointment of analytics, and this is interesting, of the seven teams that shot the most threes, BJ, combined they had one playoff series win. And I was thinking about that this week. The last three teams to win are the Raptors, big and physical, the Lakers, big and physical, and the Bucks, big and physical. And I'll throw this at you, and you tell me, because you're an agent and you represent all sorts of shooters and bigs. The one thing where analytics can't measure it is that at the end of seasons, officials let you play. And finesse teams and jump shooting teams, BJ, they don't get to the free throw line. Efficiency becomes overrated because of the sheer volume of free throws the Raptors get, the Lakers got, the Bucks got. So this analytics for the NBA in the regular season, where it's a volume play, I get them. But I do look at this and I think, okay, this is the third year in a row, BJ, where a team that's not known as a three-point team that's kind of ugly, that's kind of physical, and the refs swallow the whistle, and that's not baked into analytics, that finesse does not work late in seasons. Am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. You've hit it dead on. In the regular season, you can play a certain style of play. But as you just said, Colin, let's identify there's levels to this. There's regular season basketball, there's playoff level basketball, and then there's championship caliber basketball. In order to do that, Colin, you have to exercise the totality of the game. And that means you have to get the best shot that's possible, because the teams you're performing against are going to take away something. And that's what championship caliber basketball is all about. You make adjustments on the fly, and you have to be fundamentally sound at all areas of the game if you're going to play that. And you just can't be a one-dimensional team. And I think that's what analytics doesn't take into account, because when you look at this Milwaukee team, they adjusted. And their best player, you know, Giannis, was just simply amazing. I mean, I can't tell you last time I've seen a player and said I've been this excited about, because what he's done is he's really pushed the reset button on what it means to be the best player. He's not only the best player on the perimeter, he could be the best player in the post. He does it in transition. Now he's doing it in the half court. He can rim protect. I mean, he has the totality and the aspect of the game, the way the game is played today. He's really just a phenomenal, phenomenal player.
You know, it's interesting. We get caught up in super teams. And I like to remind people, the Bulls, the best basketball team I've ever seen, were not a super team. Michael and Scotty, the two best players, this was it was a long journey. Couldn't get through Detroit for years. You know, couldn't get through the Celtics. And San Antonio was not a super team. The old Celtics, 11 titles, they were not a super team. Do we... And by the way, don't get me wrong, when KD and Steph and Clay are playing together, it's a tough out, okay? But it is funny about the super teams. In your business, the agent business, and players ask you about joining forces, do you ever have discussions with some of your clients and say, listen, there's a downside to super teams. There's going to be a lot of salaries, no bench. I mean, I think sometimes it's overstated how great super teams are and how they just run the league, and I don't see that to be true.
Well, what these super teams have done, if they stole the headlines, okay, the game will never be replaced by the three elements of the game, right? You have to defend, you have to rebound, and you have to share the ball. You know, instead of saying super, I've replaced that with really one word, best. Who's the best in the league? And if your best player is the best defensive player, Giannis, if he's the best rebounder or one of the top, that means he's going to limit the shot, Giannis. And now this young man is playing what the best player does in the league. He plays a blended style of play, which means he can get his players involved, like Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. And by the way, he can score 40, 50 points and carry the team when necessary. So when you peek into that best player stratosphere like he has done now, there's no stopping him. He's the best. It doesn't matter, because in a 48-minute game, Giannis can dictate the game because he's the best player on both sides of the ball. Now, the super team can dominate teams who can't peek into that category. This young man right now, he's in that rare he's in the rare air where the best players live. Not the great players, the best players. He can dictate the game, and now it really doesn't matter because he can affect the game without scoring. And if he does score, if he does get a consistent jump shot, this league is going to be in trouble because there's no stopping him.
By the way, if you represented as an agent Chris Paul, Lakers came knocking, he could opt out or stay, what would you suggest?
Well, I think Chris Paul has to figure out where he's at in his career because, you know, Chris Paul was playing against perhaps the best defensive guard in the league.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's talking about what was wrong with Chris Paul. And I just said, you know, if I can be honest here, he's 36 years of age and he has two problems. Drew Holiday. That's the only problem. Yeah. Drew Holiday is that good on the defensive side of the ball. So when you look at how you win games, you know, these guys are great. And we talked about Chris Paul and Chris Paul, what he's done. He's a Hall of Famer without question. But Drew Holiday, he's a competitor and he took the challenge. And you know what? He did something against all smaller guards that all of us smaller guards play. Size and length is the one thing that doesn't deteriorate with age. Drew Holiday is a bigger guard. He's bigger than Chris Paul. And he just wore Chris Paul down during the course of the series. And he's a terrific, terrific player. And you can see why everyone in the league, all of these executives, are always trying to get taller, bigger point guards because length is one thing that doesn't go away. Us smaller guards, we require two things. We have to have speed and quickness in order to be effective.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul is 36. I mean, he's 36, Colin.
Yeah. Good seeing you, BJ. You brought it today. You were our MVP. You had all sorts of great stuff. It's always great seeing you, man. I appreciate it.
Man, thank you for the kind words. It's always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
One of the truly good guys, executive vice president, managing exec for the Wasserman Media Group, which is massive in Los Angeles.